Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are around this ever more troubled planet, all planned, all going by exactly the big program, their agenda. They know what they're doing. We'll see if it unravels on them. Nothing goes perfectly. That's the first rule in war, I guess. And this is war on us, most specifically on Caucasoid us, as in white people us. That's obvious. So we'll see where they extend it after that. There's a particularly despicable story I just came across a little while ago. We're going to touch that in just a moment. Are you there, kiddo?
I'm here, Jeff.
You sound like you're always there.
I try to be.
That's right. Got your bed right next to the desk, and no problem.
Ready to dive into it.
Yeah. Okay, here's the story. This is from the Children's Health Defense News letter, I guess. It's called The Defender. And it's entitled... Now, if this doesn't make you really almost want to retch, you're not human. Simply obscene. The FDA approves the fourth COVID shot for infants, and kids under five. I think it's safe to say that virtually all of you well understand that this is mass murder. There's no other way to phrase it, no other way to evaluate it. This is genocide on a worldwide scale. Unbelievable that this is happening. How many little children have we seen stories about, yes, anecdotal, who have been butchered with these shots, killed, dead? 75% of pregnant women who get the shots lose the child, dead, stillborn, whatever. Some of the deformities are just horrific. So here we go. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration's decision Tuesday to allow infants to allow, you're going to permit this, to allow infants and children 6 months through age four to get Pfizer's bivalent booster. That is a brutal shot, by the way. Drew harsh criticism from pediatricians and others who said children don't need any COVID-19 vaccines. Come on, Defender, it's not a vaccine. Let's start calling it what it is, let alone four shots. Four. A little bit more from the story. Infants and children 6 months through age four who received the three-dose primary series of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine are now eligible for a fourth dose. These sons of bitches really don't belong on this planet. This is beyond evil. This is pure satanic horror. How could you do that to a child, let alone an adult? Little child.
I know.
Your turn.
I'm out of words.
Yeah.
Isn't it obvious by now? What's going on?
I don't know. If it's not obvious by now, then the people are no longer above room temperature. It's obscenely obvious, to quote the story. It's just incredible.
It is. It really is.
So, Children's Health Defense, how do we rate them? For our listeners, how much confidence do we place in their work?
Very high, very high. Are they somewhat compromised? I would say so, but for the most part, they're accurate with their information.
Okay, that's good. All right, one of the people we both and hopefully most all of you respect most highly is Dr. Sukrit Bhakti, and you just sent me a little video clip on this. Is that something we want to look at?
Oh, yeah, that's really nice to see. He was given a standing ovation and a real hero's welcome, apparently in his hometown, by many of his supporters, the people who know
in
what's
Germany.
Going on in Germany, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
He deserves it.
So we want to just play it? Wild sound? Okay.
Yeah.
This is a big auditorium of some kind. It's packed. All right, here we go.
Thank you.
Standing ovation. You bet. Thanks for sending that. That's wonderful to see. It moved him to tears. That man, the whole planet should be doing that, standing up and cheering for him.
Yeah, yeah. And he has put up with his share of abuse from the media and the regulatory agencies, so-called regulatory agencies, just trying to smear him. I mean, he's a very distinguished academic professor.
Right. Well, I'll put that up in the headlines in a while. We can do that. That's really nice to see.
It is.
Okay. Next up, we have a woman. Hold off on Catherine for a moment. There's a new... If any of you have been following this reasonably carefully, you know that Anthony Fauci is a lying sack of garbage. At the best... And at the worst, he is a satanic agent right here, right in front of us, fully visible through the media. He is a liar and a fraud. So now he's talking about Dr. Ralph Baric. And he says, I doubt if I've ever met him. Disavowing all contact or knowledge. Like, I don't know who he is. I don't know. Ralph Baric, if there's one observable human specimen who has been intimately involved with this whole thing from day one, whenever that was, 20, 25 years ago, who knows? It's probably Ralph Baric. And if you don't understand, and I hope you do, these people all know precisely what's going on with this. They understand how the bioweapon was made. They understand what it does. They understand all the things that we've tried to figure out for over 3 years now. And that there's so many different tentacles that this thing puts out to end life, either quickly or more slowly. Doesn't matter. You're fused. Once you get a shot, you're fused. 10 years? I don't know. 5? Don't know. But these people know. Fauci knows all about it. So does Dr. Robert Malone, who is purportedly on our side. You make your own decision about that one. But these people at the very top know precisely what's happening. And here's Fauci saying, I doubt if I've ever met him.
He funded Ralph Baric's research. But the question is, you know, what's become of Ralph Baric? I mean, he has vanished. He came out
very
early on.
That's a very important question to ask. Where is Ralph Baric? Why?
When the pandemic scamdemic was announced, he was featured as, you know, as a consultant, an authority in the area of bat coronaviruses. He's known to be the world's leading expert, and he is on record publicly, you know, pushing around the wet market origin or the cave origin, one or the other, you know, nothing to do with a laboratory. And so the world was looking to him for how are we going to handle this? And it seems that when the lab origin theory first emerged, which was, I think it was March of 2020, Indian group had, they had sequenced it and said, well, yeah, there's some HIV sequences in here. This doesn't look like it's natural. And it wasn't long after that he vanished, and he hasn't been seen since. Now, some have speculated that they might have killed him.
Well, it wouldn't be the first, of course.
No, it wouldn't.
By a mile.
It wouldn't, but he is missing in action. World's leading authority on coronaviruses. Where is he now?
Where is he now? Article written by John Leake, L-E-A-K-E. Dr. McCullough and I are often marvel at how the mainstream media somehow fails to see and report facts of enormous importance, facts that are documented in academic papers, grant proposals, email correspondence, and video footage. All a journalist has to do is read the documents and report their content. And yet, somehow, most legacy media journalists are apparently unable to gain awareness and report what is immediately at hand. Take the 2015. Take the 2015 paper published at UNC Chapel Hill by Professor Ralph Barrick et al., titled A SARS-like cluster of circulating bat coronaviruses shows potential for human emergence. As the authors, including Zhengli Li Shi at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, state in their abstract, this is really funny. Here we examine the disease potential of a SARS-like virus, SHC-014-COV, which is currently circulating in Chinese horseshoe bat populations. Using the SARS-CoV reverse genetics system, we generated and characterized a chimeric virus expressing the spike protein of bat coronavirus, SHC-014, in a mouse-adapted SARS-CoV backbone. The results indicate that group 2B viruses encoding da-da-da-da-da. Anyhow, it finishes up by saying, replicate efficiently in primary human airway cells and achieve in vitro titers equivalent to epidemic strains of SARS-CoV-2. All right, that's their little abstract. Now, Fauci is claiming he doesn't know Barrick. I don't think I've ever met the man. These people are astounding in their immorality and deviousness, yeah, and their lying. It's just nonstop to them. It's second, yep, nature. It's not second nature. It's first nature. Hell with that. So anyhow, there we go. These characters are still around. They've gotten their golden parachutes. They're not going to be stressed for the rest of their lives. We just don't know where Barrick is. Maybe he is pushing up daisies. I don't know.
No, he's not in the public eye, that's for sure. Which is, you know, is odd. Isn't it?
I agree.
The world's,
yes,
leading authority on coronaviruses?
And you'd think that some paparazzi would catch him, you know.
Right.
On some Italian Riviera hotel.
But, you know, he was. It is interesting in the beginning. I mean, I remember listening, watching interviews with him and mm-hmm, other virologists early on, and he was speaking quite authoritatively on the natural origins of this virus and what we're going to do about it. But now he's gone.
Well, didn't we run a video of him at one point talking about that?
There was a YouTube video from a few years ago where he was giving a speech about how to profit from a pandemic.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we have that somewhere. I think it's in the archives.
Keeps on rolling.
Hey, you know, it's obvious that this thing was planned. There's no question. It's just...
Well, they gamed everything. They planned it for probably 20 years. Who knows?
And okay, this little clip of Peter McCullough is on tour again, states that the DOD announced back in 2012 that when there was going to be a pandemic, they were speaking hypothetically at that point, that it was going to be solved in 60 days through the use of mRNA vaccines.
Uh-huh. All right, here's McCullough. It's a short little clip.
DARPA, the research unit of the military, said in 2012, we will end pandemics in 60 days using messenger RNA. That's long before Moderna and Pfizer were even in the game. This cannot be about pharmaceutical companies. They are profiting from this, but they didn't drive it. They didn't conceive this. This is a military conception. This is a military operation. We're under a national security operation in the United States, and it's driven by the military. When the vaccine is rolled out, it says the Department of Defense and Health and Human Services are proud to offer the Pfizer vaccine. That's the reason why things are going like they are. It's as if a military has invaded us and we are actually at war against the virus. That's the reason why all the employers say take the vaccine or lose your job, because the military has given us this command. Think about a military invasion, then everything would make sense. Next slide. DARPA.
Okay, DARPA. That's one of the big keys to this whole thing. They're a primary instigator.
Are we really at war with the virus?
No, we're at war with humankind. At least they are.
Yes, I think we've misidentified the enemy.
That's an old trick. Everything's misdirection now. Someone sent us a note here. We'll see what happens. This will be interesting. This July, if we're all still here, at the end of the month, there's a national convention and exposition put on by the National Funeral Directors and Morticians Association, Incorporated. So that'll be fun to watch and see who the key speakers are. Who's the guy that... Who's the first one? What's his name? It's right on the tip of my tongue.
John O'Looney.
No. The one over here.
Richard Hirschman?
Hirschman.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Hirschman. I love those accents. So he'll probably be a key speaker there, I would think. Like I say, if we're all still here at the end of July.
Yeah, we'll see how many have gained a backbone and are willing to speak, to the relevant topic.
Right. Well, they can speak all they want, but will it be channeled out to the masses through the mainstream controlled Zionist media?
That's right. That's
doubtful.
Right.
Talk
yep.
all they want. All right. We got to get started here with Catherine Watt. Go ahead and give us a little build up for Catherine.
Catherine Watt, she has a Substack known as Bailiwick News, and she's a paralegal, but a very, very good, thorough researcher. And she was one of the ones to dig up a lot of this, the military DOD connections on these injections. And she made a video, I think this is probably about a month old, I hate to say it, but that just summarizes in about 15 minutes what this is all about, what the intentions are, how they orchestrated it. And in addition to that, on her Substack about Bailiwick News, she also has a PDF form that people can download and hand to their medical providers, or I believe it's just medical providers. Let me see here. I'm missing it. But it's a notice of that they're participating. Here it is. Notice of war crimes to healthcare providers and health insurance providers. So it's if they are attempting to get you to take a vaccine, you can present them with this document and put them on notice that they are participating in a war crime by delivering these injections. And this may be the first step to start to get some of these medical practitioners who are still playing the game to wake up.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
So again, her Substack is bailiwicknews.substack.com.
She's a very intelligent, even-tempered. She's not flashy, not glitzy, and gets the job done. So let's listen to a little bit of Catherine Watt. She's going to talk about something referred to militarily as the kill box. It's a battlefield scenario where they box in the enemy and liquidate them, which is what she's suggesting is being done right now, right here, to lots and lots of people.
Drinking warm water before bed.
I don't want to hear about this. Hold on. Goodbye. Here we go. One of the attendees was Catherine Watt, Pennsylvania paralegal and law researcher. Here are her findings in her own words.
And the basic idea is that public health has been militarized and the military has been sort of turned into a public health front or Potemkin village, such that they are using public health language and public health laws to actually carry out a military campaign. And I would not call them DOD vaccines. I would call them DOD weapons. So I call it the kill box because the first sort of lead that I had was Todd Callender's January 30th, 2022 interview on Elizabeth Leavitt's podcast called Truth for Health. And he described it as a kill box. And then I looked that up and it turned out it's a military term for establishing a geographic space or three-dimensional area for a military attack by air and by surface to kill the people who are in it and then dismantle the kind of framework and move on to the next campaign. And what the DOD and the World Health Organization intend to do and have gotten quite far in doing but not completely reached their goals is to set up the entire world as their geographic terrain, their target population as all the people in the world, the duration of their campaign as permanent, and the weapons that they're using are, number one, informational, that's the propaganda piece and the censorship piece. Number two, psychological, that's the fear and terrorism piece of telling people they need to be afraid all the time and they need to listen to the government. And then the third piece is the chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear weapons, which are called in their campaign pharmaceuticals, vaccines, but are actually toxins and pathogens. So I started, after I heard that interview, I had already been wondering what was going on, but I started trying to track down some of the things Todd Callender talked about in his interview and figure out what the legal frameworks were and how they were set up and what the financial coercion mechanisms were. My finding, which many other people have found in various from various other angles, was that this project has been going on for centuries. It's basically globalist central bankers and lots of related organizations trying to get complete control of human beings through banking programs and through military programs. And they kicked it into higher gear in 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act. And then they kicked the public health aspect of it into higher gear starting in the 1930s and 40s. Before the 1960s, they mostly did it through orchestrated armed conflicts and financial depressions and wars, which are very loud and messy and destructive to infrastructure, and it makes it difficult for them to have plausible deniability and legal impunity for what they're doing. So in the mid-60s, they got much better at inducing suicide and homicide by fraudulently labeling poisons as medicines or as vaccines or as prophylactics and telling people that submitting to that poisoning process was their civic duty. And that's we saw that in COVID with the shorthand for do this or you're going to kill your grandma. And the way that the pharmaceutical method is primarily useful to them is that plausible deniability is much easier and legal impunity is a lot easier. They can achieve the same goal of killing lots of people without their fingerprints being all over it. I looked into the coercion cascades, mostly financial. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail with that, but it starts at the top with the Bank for International Settlements, and they can use their control of other federal central banks' access to financial systems, and then all the way down through state governments, national governments, local, municipal, school districts, hospitals, everything. If you comply with what they're telling you to do as far as masking and testing, isolating yourself, taking injections, then you will get the financial access that you need to run your business or to have a job. And if you don't comply, they can cut you off from those services. And so that is one of the main mechanisms through which the whole thing was carried.
BIS, Bank of International Settlements, is a heavyweight player. Right now, there are probably meetings going on, multiple meetings at BIS, that have been going on for many weeks. They know all about this crash. They know all about the chaos. They understand that the U.S. government has now underwritten to be responsible for approximately $23 trillion, if not $25 trillion, in American deposits in banks in this country. The FDIC could never do it. The FDIC had a maximum of $150 billion. That's it. Up against $23 trillion in deposits in this country. So
staggering.
It's all been a looting operation from the beginning, from 1913, the Federal Reserve Act, theft and rape and pillage of our country, our heritage, and our lives. And that's the truth. All right, here we go. Catherine Watt.
And then on the legal side, at my website, I do trace it back farther, but I'm going to start at 1969 just for the sake of starting somewhere. The U.S. Congress passed a law to set up the Chemical and Biological Warfare Program. And in that law, which is 50 U.S.C. Chapter 32, there are very important key terms, including protective, prophylactic, and defensive, which is how they justified doing it. They were using those words because the international community of ordinary, non-insane people were concerned about biological and chemical weapons, and they were working on international treaties to prohibit them. And so they needed to build in loopholes, and the loopholes they built in were, we're not going to do biological and chemical research and weapons development except for protective or prophylactic or defensive purposes. And that's a false characterization because all biologically active products are intrinsically aggressive and toxic and lethal. And that's where we get disciplines, or that's the thing that disciplines like toxicology, pharmacokinetics, genotoxicity, drug-drug interactions are all related to, that fact that everything that goes into the human body or any living body has some effects which can be toxic. So that was the way they tried to get around that. And then the foundational public health emergencies platform came out in 1983 when Congress passed the Public Health Service Act amendment, and that set up the public health emergencies program under the 1944 law that had originally set up the Public Health Service, which is a branch of the military. And it also, in 1983, Congress and Reagan set up a $30 million slush fund, and that has continued. It's got a different name now than it did then, but it's still being funded as recently as the NDAA and the Consolidated Appropriations Act in December 2022. The other thing they did in the 80s was set up the 1986 National Vaccine Program and National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. And that's the one that set up the liability exemption for manufacturers and funneled anyone who was injured by a vaccine into this different compensation program, and that's been used as a model since the COVID started for the countermeasures injury compensation program. So the international piece, the cornerstone, is the World Health Organization, which is not a health organization, it's a military organization because of this merger that I'm talking about. It's sort of the military arm of the one world government that they're trying to set up. And they did a set of amendments to the international health regulations in 2005 that entered into force in June 2007. But basically, the IHR, which are currently going through another round of amendments to make them worse, called on national governments to strengthen their own domestic laws and fund more programs for surveillance, testing, detention and quarantine, physical control, and forced treatment during international outbreaks of communicable diseases. And the pretext that they used, because it was bankers who were doing this, was that they needed to protect international trade from disruptions caused by disease outbreaks. But the real intent was to set up these legal systems that transfer sovereign government from the nation state to the World Health Organization and the BIS automatically when a public health emergency of international concern has been declared.
Okay, just keep in mind that the World Health Organization is simply a tool of global domination. That's what it is. I'm not underscoring this with any undue emphasis. It is the most obvious, blatant sledgehammer that they're going to use on us. They're going to try to make every country sign that World Health Organization treaty, which gives them ultimate control over each nation state. Now, the controllers of this planet don't like nation states. The nation state era is over in their view. That's one reason why you're seeing Western Europe, the UK, the US be demolished, Canada, New Zealand, Australia. They're demolishing white Western Christian culture nation states. First target. And we don't know how many people here have already been eliminated. We've gone through that. And we're watching. And it's pretty obvious that people are dying like the proverbial flies all over this country. And many of you listening from around the world, the same thing's going on there. We know in the Philippines, horrific numbers of people are dying all the time. Mm. All right, here's more.
And Congress and U.S. presidents and the cabinet complied with that demand from the World Health Organization. So two of the key years were 1997 and 98. That was when the beginnings of the Emergency Use Authorization Program was set up and when they transferred the CBRN weapons stockpile from DOD classification, I guess, to HHS or CDC classification and control. It was the same products, as far as I can tell. It was just a relabeling and a rehoming of them. And the EUA, that was kind of a two-step thing. At the time, the public was really upset about the use of unapproved vaccines for anthrax on military troops and the horrible adverse effects they were having. So Congress passed a law in November to kind of revoke authorization for testing or using unapproved products on military troops. But 3 days later, in a different law, made it so that the same programs could be done, but the target population would be expanded from just military troops to the entire American population. Then, around 2000 to 2002, using the momentum from 9/11 and the anthrax attacks on Congress, they set up, through the statutes, again, program management sort of structures. They did that through the 2000 Public Health Threats and Emergencies Act, through the 2001 Authorization for Use of Military Force. And people talked about this at the time. It was construed as putting the country into a permanent state of war, the global war on terror, with every other country in the world. So there was no geographic limitation. There was no time limitation. There was no identified enemy other than terror. And through that, I think other people figured this out at the time, and then it sort of got suppressed. But it made everyone in the world into a presumptive combatant or enemy target. So it was essentially a de facto covert global martial law act by the U.S. government. And then in those early 2000s, we also got the Patriot Act, the Public Health Security and Bioterrorism Preparedness and Response Act.
You remember all these? They just kind of came right on by and nobody did much.
Yeah.
There was some talk, but not much, not enough.
Homeland Security Act, and those were just more of the merging of the DHS, the DOJ, the HHS, the Department of Defense, all of the cabinet agencies. So since then, 2003 to 2009, there have been lots and lots of executive orders on these things, lots more statutes and appropriations, lots of agency regulations, guidance reports that were circulated to state, local, and tribal authorities and law enforcement so that they would know that under a public health emergency, they are subordinated to the federal military. FDA issued a lot of guidance for industry documents and sent those out to the pharmaceuticals and to the academic organizations and NGOs to let them know about how FDA was going to handle experimental products like vaccines, gene therapies, biologics. And they did more test runs like 2003 SARS, 2006 MERS, and 2009 H1N1. That brings us up to the Other Transactions Authority, and this was revealed through Pfizer's April 2022 motion to dismiss whistleblower Brooke Jackson's False Claims Act case. They said this was not a vaccine, it was a DOD prototype, and we were never obligated to do valid clinical trials. We were never obligated to prove safety or efficacy to anyone. We never had to get FDA authorization through any of the normal guidance for industry channels because it was a prototype. On October 4th, 2022, the U.S. government endorsed that view and filed a statement of interest and support for the motion to dismiss. basically saying that clinical trials were never material or necessary for DOD to pay the contractors for producing and distributing the bioweapons known as COVID-19 vaccines. And so all of this became visible from 2020 to the present when the World Health Organization Secretary General issued the Public Health Emergency of International Concern at the end of January 2020, and the HHS Secretary immediately triggered the domestic frameworks through the determination that a public health emergency exists, followed by PREP Act declarations for medical countermeasures, which are the weapons. And then Congress and the presidents, Trump and Biden, passed several additional congressional acts, funding and reinforcing the structure of the kill box, and issued more executive orders under the Defense Production Act, under the Stafford Act, under the National Emergencies Act, to sort of build out the program. Basically, what it built is a huge public and private funding stream for military-led bioweapons research and use, eliminated informed consent by reclassifying people who could potentially be carrying a disease as presumptive national security threats, so that you can do anything you want to them because you're on a war footing, and to shield the products and weapons from product liability, to shield all the people involved from criminal liability and civil liability, and to shield the government funders, developers, and regulators from criminal prosecution under the other laws which are in place but are sort of superseded by this framework.
Absolutely zero accountability. You want to go to court, file a legal claim against some of these organizations? Forget it. This has all been planned. You've heard it. And there's also discussion. I'm not a constitutional law expert, but I'm not sure that executive orders are legal under the Constitution. People have made the argument that they're not. That would be my feeling. But they have just done everything they want all the way along the road, and the road is going to hell. Here, we're almost done here. This is really important material.
Use of bioweapons, use of chemical weapons, terrorism, things like that. I see it as a joint project between the U.S. Department of Defense, a coordinating committee of that, the Federal Reserve, and the World Health Organization and the Bank for International Settlements.
She's got it.
And the United Nations, but the World Health Organization is like a subsidiary of the UN. And there are things that the globalists do not like. They don't like constitutions and charters. They don't like the conflicting statutory frameworks around bioterrorism, war crimes, genocide, torture. They don't like any of that stuff. They don't like when states and provinces and counties and like towns pass their own laws protecting informed consent, protecting people for consumer safety. They actually put out a report in October 2022, state laws limiting public health protections hazardous for our health. And there's a whole bunch of things in there that states have started doing that the globalists do not like. So doing more of those things, more bringing control back to the state, more using Article 10 of the Constitution to reclaim state authority, those are all extremely useful. And I do think it's going to break. I think there's going to be a tipping point and the criminal prosecutions are going to start. And we have all the evidence. And every time they try to answer what we're talking about by saying national security, they reinforce that this is the right way to go. This is what they're doing. They're doing war crimes.
Okay, that's it. Catherine Watt, really a very substantive summation of exactly how we got where we are and what we're facing. And again, I would suggest that people who file these legal actions are going to have a long wait, because the courts are owned by the very enemies she just spent almost 15 minutes outlining. It's all owned. They own the whole damn show. Look at Bart Klassen's paper. He'll tell you how it's run. It's all there. Okay, that's Catherine Watt, and really good, really good material.
Yeah, that
it's
was
up
an
there.
excellent summation.
It's up there on the homepage in the archive on the right hand side, the coronavirus spike protein archive, which is full of really important information. Okay, Any other thoughts on Catherine? She just really nailed it there. She did a lot of that extemporaneously. She wasn't reading from a script.
Right, right. Impressive. Well, she's familiar with the material, obviously, yeah. If she's been living it and breathing it.
Yes, yes, exactly. Okay, I guess we should go to our human folder and see what's new there. All right?
Okay, yeah.
Let's see. I'm gonna...
We've got, we can go back as far as March 10, which was, what, Friday? We had a couple in there to clean up.
Friday. Okay. Boy, you've got some great ones here. Anything we need to jump to priority-wise?
Nope. Okay. Whatever looks good.
Got a CJD, we've got a lot there. Children shedding, amyloidosis, myocarditis, shedding from food. All right, just for fun, let's take that one just to start. That's a shorty.
Did we do that one? That sounds
I
familiar.
Don't remember it.
No, maybe not. Okay.
I don't think so. Go ahead.
I had a bad experience eating a piece of cake from a bakery. The salesman was putting a paper on the cake with the hand before putting it into the bag. I was eating the cake on my way and had rashes and diarrhea a few hours later. The shedding makes so many problems. I cannot do all the jobs as a freelancer. I cannot go to the gym. Traveling is an issue since the hotel is problematic, and most people do not believe in shedding.
Well, that's a point of discussion right there. We could spend a lot of time on that. The issue in her mind, and again, this is anecdotal, we certainly stand on that, but this woman had an obvious instance where she felt she had consumed something that had been shed upon, and she got sick. It's not to say that everybody will react the same way. It's not to say that at all. It is to say, though, that some people are incredibly sensitive to the spike protein, and the only problem, the bigger problem, not the only one, is that people are shedding spike through their skin all the time, but now we know they're also shedding the instructions, the blueprints, to build the little factory in your cells to produce spike proteins in your own and from your own body's cellular makeup. So you don't have to get it from somebody else after you've been shed upon. That's the idea that we have now as a working thesis, that people who have been injected are dumping mRNA, which they said in the beginning could never happen. And we think it is happening without any question. So
I mean, at some point, I'm sure they're not going to race to do it now, but they're, maybe they'll never do it. But you know, they are able to now, in a blood sample, determine the mRNA from the vaccine. You know, it has been shown to be present, what was it, 16 months, 19 months later?
19
months,
19.
Still circulating. Yeah. And not only can they find it, they can tell you which vaccine it came from.
Now, let me add something to that, just for clarification, and I don't know if I'm correct, but at 19 months to find cell-free mRNA in the blood after 19 months would suggest the obvious, that mRNA had been somehow replicated in the body. Yes, the original source would still be there and identifiable, but we think that the body replicates it. We also think there's a chance that the mRNA itself has instructions in it to replicate itself in the body and then off to the races. So that's the issue here.
Yeah. I think they must be using self-amplifying mRNA.
Why wouldn't they? Why would they go halfway?
Exactly.
No, this
or
is
conversely, I mean, if they're using the modified mRNA, and that's using these pseudouridine substitutes that make it last pretty much forever, then it wouldn't have to be self-amplifying. It just persists forever. And somehow or other, the way it communicates with the body apparently sees it and somehow replicates it, possibly. I don't know.
Something's going on, though. After 19 months... Yeah, the original injected mRNA should have been long, long ago set up in cells and doing what it's supposed to do.
In the beginning, they said hours to days, hours to days, and it would be out of your system.
Right.
Well.
Yeah, 19 months. Okay, March 10th, children shedding.
Okay.
Let's see what that is. Go ahead.
Okay, anyone's children experiencing symptoms from shedding? One reply, rashes, eczema, 24 hours after exposure, which heals very slow, like a month. Answer, oh my gosh, I was around a vax recently, and the next day I got this horrible rash all over my stomach and sides, going on a week now, very itchy. Another one says, I was wondering if that's what it was. A fourth one says, it's most likely the cause. I use horse paste, and it takes away all my symptoms. I get horrible rashes if I have physical touch to a jabbed person. Sorry this happens to you. And the last one says, persistent coughing for my four-year-old.
Now, that's an important little quickie. We're all out and about occasionally, and people cough. You hear it often. If you listen, you'll hear coughs. People cough. A lot of people have coughs, and the coughs don't go away. And we suspect that many of these people have been injected and may have clots in their lungs.
Yeah,
maybe they got the clots from being shed upon. We don't know. But these people are clearly fighting something, and it's not bronchitis. It's something else.
Well, don't forget, the spike protein is very inflammatory. So if you're inhaling it and it's getting into your lungs, it's going to be like asbestos. You know, it's an irritant, highly inflammatory, and it will leave scarring. I mean, it's known to cause fibrosis, just like asbestos.
You said asbestos twice. All right. Let's see. It is. If you don't know how asbestos gets into the lungs and does its damage, you should look that up, everyone. It's basically, asbestos is like a little barbed spike.
Yeah.
Like a little rod with a spike on the end of it and like a hook, almost like a fish hook, but not. And it goes into your skin and it burrows in. It doesn't go away. So when you're exposed to asbestos, you're stuck with it. You don't go in there and pull it out with tweezers. It's bad stuff. Okay, March 10th. What's next? CJD?
We could do CJD.
All right. Hey, guys. I've been taking care of my cousin. He is 45. About a year ago, he started having memory and cognitive problems. Couldn't function at work. Forgot how to do his job. He got diagnosed with a major neurocognitive disorder. Back in August, his brother took him to a behavior place, and he was there for 2 months. While there, they gave him a Slums test, and he scored a 2. They released him in October, and I picked him up. He's been with me ever since. He has progressively declined. He can no longer talk. He still walks, but is not stable. He has lots of jerks and twitches. His muscles are very weak, and he has trouble with chewing and swallowing. He cannot spit or blow his nose. He had a seizure yesterday. He had a PET scan on his brain Tuesday, and there was a lot of decreased function in his brain. She says Alzheimer's, but we're waiting to confirm it with his EEG, lumbar puncture, and MRI. Does this sound like what you all have experienced with your loved ones? And one response, I'm so sorry your cousin is declining and has endured so much. I would strongly suggest that you reach out to the CJD Foundation for direction and information for your cousin's doctors. To test for CJD, his LP specimen will need to go to Ohio for specific testing. They can give you all that information and a contact name if you decide to have him tested. Our daughter had to have a second LP. LP?
Lumbar puncture?
Yeah. Boy, you're good. Because the radiologist who did her first LP didn't know it needed to go to Ohio. And so they only tested for generic things, not CJD. All right, well, there's one. There are a lot of people out there with mental function problems now. It's becoming common.
Yeah, it goes on and on. Let me just read one more of this thread. We went to a neurologist and had a horrible experience. He said it's dementia and there's no cure. That's without any testing. Somehow we got referred to the Geriatric Longevity Clinic at UAM's Little Rock, Arkansas. I was confused at first, but our doctor has been wonderful. She has ordered all of the tests. I'm so thankful to finally be getting somewhere. It's devastating watching a loved one who once was a such brilliant, productive person slipping away. I'm going to talk with his doctor about the RT quick test. Thank you so much for the info.
See, what they do is they just test and test and test. And what are they going to do when they find out
some
the
of these, these clinics, these neurologists, you know, specialists are months out on appointments.
Right.
So you better hope you picked, you know, the right, I guess, area of specialty if you're going to wait that long.
No, exactly.
But, if you're trying to depopulate, then you make people wait, and
they die
waiting.
This is, you have to remember, this is beyond psychopathic behavior. The controllers are liquidating humankind.
Mm-hmm.
This breaks all the rules. It defies definition and description. It's unimaginably evil. And that's what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, the amount of suffering is just mind-blowing.
Agreed. How many stories, how many anecdotal reports, people sick? What was that one woman? I think it was a woman. Shingles? For, what was it, 9 months?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. The shingles is out of control.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
Yes. Incredible.
Yep.
Okay, that's going to wrap it up. A lot of information for all of you. Thanks for being here with us, and we'll be back again on Friday. Thank you, young lady.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Okay. And we'll be right back with Hour 3 coming up next.